Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com will join us a little bit later in the program. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, we're going to get back into Titans and mandatory minicamp here in just a few minutes. I do want to touch on this, though, and Keyser brought it up a little bit earlier in the Choice Is Yours segment. So the New Jersey Devils, a team that we've talked about a lot around here as a possible link to UC Soros, made some news yesterday. General manager Tom Fitzgerald, former Predators captain, throwing it out there that they're open to trading the number 10 pick in the draft. They have the number 10 pick in the draft coming up later this summer. And obviously they're in need of a goaltender. They've been trying to find a goalie for a while. They tried to kind of mix and mash it up this year at the goalie position. They made some trades at the deadline, none of which were very big trades. They brought in Jake Allen, and he was okay, but not good enough to be your long-term starting goaltender. So they need a goalie. You've got Jack Hughes. You've got Luke Hughes. You've got some foundational-type players on the Devils that you feel really good about moving forward. It was an incredibly disappointing year for them. They got their coach fired. Fitzgerald knows that he's going to have to get this thing turned around pretty quickly with the roster that they have. And a goalie is going to be essential to doing that. So yesterday says, quote, "If you feel like it helps us now and in the foreseeable future, then yes, I'm listening," as it relates to the number 10 pick in the draft. Said, "I haven't gotten anything yet, but the more I talk to teams, I say, listen, I'm open to moving number 10. But it's going to have to be something significant," is what Tom Fitzgerald said yesterday. And look, they've made no secret about it. Like, they're looking for a goalie. Everybody knows they're looking for a goalie. They've hired Sheldon Keefe, former Toronto Maple Leafs coach, to be their new head coach here. So he's talked about it openly. Like, everybody knows they've got to find a goalie. So when that came out yesterday of number 10 pick possibly being available, that you could package together with a bigger deal, a lot of people naturally connected the dots to UC Soros and the Nashville Predators. What do you make of that idea? What do you make of the number 10 pick being available? And I think New Jersey pretty clearly signaling, Joe, that they're going to be aggressively looking for a goaltender this offseason. If you're Barry Trotz, do the eyebrows go up a little bit yesterday when you see this? Do you not really blink at all because you've known that they needed a goalie? And I think it's been pretty clear that he's been in conversations with Tom Fitzgerald for the last few months here. How do you view the New Jersey part of this as it relates to them being open and willing to move for a goaltender and how it should affect the Predators?
Yeah, I don't know that it would be raising Trotz eyebrows, because I'm sure there's been a ton of conversation. So what's the benefit for the Devils? You almost could look at this like the Devils have, like, you know, they've talked Soros, so they want to put it out there for other possibilities.
Yeah.
Like, the Soros thing must have been discussed, right?
I would assume so.
I mean, they're basically joking about it when he was here. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. That was what I thought of, as like, so are they already like, okay, it's just not going to work because Barry's asking for whatever. I don't know. Like, to me, first of all, we talked about during Choice Is Yours, I'll say it again, the number 10 pick for Soros, no way. It has to be more. It has to be, to me, you know, prospects / players.
Yeah.
Or singular. Like, we've talked about Dawson Mercer before. First round pick from 2020.
Yep.
20 goals, 33 points. You know, good play. Is that something like, is he indispensable to the Devils' future? Is that how they view it? Is he untouchable in their eyes?
I don't know that he would be untouchable. I mean, obviously, I think they really like him. Like, to me, if you're trading Soros to New Jersey, like, you want, along with, you know, the package of picks, like, you want a guy like that back. I you know, Willie and I think disagree a little bit on how to move forward with the team.
You think?
I'm with him in terms of I'm wanting something tangible back for UC Soros if I'm moving on for him. And tangible to me is not really a draft pick. Like, I want a player back for him. And it doesn't have to be, you know, Mitch Marner, But, like, Dawson Mercer is a pretty intriguing guy. He's a young kid. He's scored 20 goals last year. Like, he's a good player and a guy that has a chance to be a top six forward for you for a while. So, I don't think you're going to get – you're not going to get a superstar back for UC Saros. But, like, Mercer would be a pretty nice piece to come back the other way, in addition to a draft pick. And then I think you kind of go from there. Anything more than that, I think you're being unrealistic about what the return is going to be for Saros. But I'm certainly not giving him up for just the number 10 overall pick. I mean, Fitzgerald went on to say, quote, "I'm in the goalie market talking to teams, but there's a but. And the but is, how do we want to build our team? We'd like to add up front. We'd like to add on the back end. So what are those pieces going to cost us? With the goaltending, what's that going to cost us? Does the number 10 pick get you the type of player that you can add to the group? It's easy to say, go get so-and-so, and then you build from there. But there are some guys who have different contracts. So how are those players going to reprice that? There's a lot to it, but yes, the focus is on finding that goaltender." So, I mean, he's right there. He's out in the open, saying, yeah. I mean, they're, which everybody knows that, but it still is rare for like a GM to be like, yep, looking for a goalie. We're calling teams about a goalie.
That's what I'm wondering. If it's like, instead of like texting 14 guys, how about I just say this to the media?
Yeah.
I'm sick of talking to Barry. He's not giving me what I want. Right. Someone else trade me a goalie. Barry's like, Jack Hughes. How about that?
I'll take Jack Hughes and Luke Hughes. Take both of them.
There you go. Yeah. I think this is probably the team we've talked about the most.
Yep.
When it comes to it, and like you said, you laid it out, like, they've got to win next year. And look, I've seen some discussion on Saros, and I think it's kind of maybe like from media / fans, you know, of other teams, about how like his value has dropped a lot from the last year. I don't know that I buy that, but I mean, the numbers aren't as good. So you could look at it and say, is the trend negative? Because the overall numbers weren't as good. It was such a bad first half of the season, you know. And it's not like his numbers were fantastic in the Canucks series. You know, he had a couple rough moments in there. I just don't know that I'd buy that. I think that's a little bit of wishful thinking from another fan base if they think that they're going to get him pennies on the dollar.
No, you're not going to get him pennies on the dollar. I mean, the value has dropped in terms like – the biggest strength for the Saros trade has always been the contract, right? Like, if you would have traded him last summer,
sure,
you're talking about 2 years left on the deal at $5 million per year and then an opportunity to extend him after that. I mean, it's incredible value.
And you're also coming off a season in which there aren't really questions about that.
Exactly.
With him. He had a really strong season.
So I had no doubt the value has probably gone down as to what it once was, but it hasn't cratered or anything. Yeah. Like, there's still... Number one, you get him at one more year for $5 million, so that's not insignificant. And then you do have the opportunity to extend him after that. So there's still plenty of value there. I think most people who watch him realize that he's still pretty good. And look, I think if I'm a team that was worried about the overall numbers, if you really dig into it, he was much better in the second half of the season and into the playoffs than he was in the first half. And there's a couple things there. Number one, I think we've got enough body of work on Saros at this point to know he's a slow starter. Like, he starts slow at the season, and that's what it is. And number two, there was a new coach. There was a new system. I think clearly, not just for him, but for everybody, it took some time to get used to playing the way that they wanted to play. And then once they got used to it, he looked a little bit more like UC Saros. Now, it still wasn't great, wasn't perfect, but I think there's – if I'm a team looking at that, I'm not like – there's no red flag of, oh, I think he's totally falling off the table.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and even like the underlying numbers certainly were way down this year overall. But same thing, they were terrible early, and then they were more Saros like late. Yeah. Another thing with underlying numbers, like ever since Lankinen, and I'm kind of like this in general. Like I appreciate analytics; they are helpful. They help tell the story. Some people treat them as gospel.
Yeah,
the Lankinen's a great example of all the underlying numbers said he's awful.
Yeah.
Well, he played for an awful team. Still, the underlying numbers say he's awful. Yeah. Now, the Preds had some data that was better than that.
Well, you talk about, you know, the goaltending stat we bring up all the time is saves above or below expectation, which
right.
is supposed to be independent of the team around you. And Lankinen was awful in that category.
Yeah, they can't be independent completely.
Yeah, exactly. So it's always you know, I don't want to swing one too far one way or the other. Like,
no, you must pick a side.
Well, people have like yelled at me before, like, you just don't care about analytics. I'm like, well, I care about analytics. I don't let analytics totally inform my decision on every single thing that has to do with the sport of hockey, like some people do.
Yeah, or you know, football, same thing to me.
Yeah.
Again, you can go. There are some numbers you can find that will tell you Will Levis is trash.
Yeah,
and we watched him play. It helps.
It does. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. Will take your thoughts on a potential trade of UC Soros. Get back into the Titans coming up as well. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road. 1025-1063. The game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com is with us here on Robbie and Rex Road, talking all things Tennessee Titans. PK, good morning. How's it going?
Good morning, gentlemen. Good to see you.
Good to be
in the middle of minicamp. And middle of minicamp also means we're very close to the actual NFL offseason, which is a delight.
It is. We're getting closer and closer.
I'm actually going to miss the big finale next week because when one schedules one's big family vacation, one has no idea who the coach is going to be, but yet when the end of minicamp's going to be. So I'm lucky I didn't schedule it for this week or I really would have been screwed.
You're going to be gone next week too?
I am. Where are you going to be?
Seacrest or somewhere there. I don't pay much attention to which town is which because we go every other year with the gang to one of several houses that we've rented in the past.
This is like Jersey Shore?
Yeah, except in Florida.
Oh.
on the Gulf.
Seacrest? I don't know Seacrest. I know the Gulf. Where's that?
I don't know. Near Orange Beach and all those places. I get in the car and I drive.
You're talking 30A. Yeah. I got you. Okay.
Do you think he was talking like Clearwater?
I get in the car and drive.
Seacrest, I was like, hey, he's going up there with
Florida's a big state, you know.
With what? Poonchie? What's the people on the, you know, the Jersey Shore?
Snooki? I never watched
Snooki.
Any of them.
Snooki,
I know.
Poonchie.
I don't
know who Poonchie is.
Sounds like from Hawaii.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I wish I was going to Snooki. Hawaii.
The situation.
The situation.
The situation today is I didn't get the memo that they we had an hour and 45 of you.
They were apparently.
An hour and 45 of you.
Oh, not that early?
You know, my wife's.
You are.
Wow. My wife is into the Jersey Shore stuff.
Yeah.
And they were.
Is it still on?
Yeah. They keep making new seasons of like spinoffs of it.
Wow.
They were in Nashville last year.
Nashville Shore?
Making a show.
Going to Nashville Shore?
It's like Jersey Shore.
I mean, you are landlocked. You cannot find more landlocked.
There's a Nashville Shore.
Percy Priest.
That's ridiculous.
Some standing water for
Poonchie. Old Hickory Lake.
Poonchie, don't pee in the standing water.
Poonchie. Where are you making this name up from?
I don't know. I forgot about
Snooki. So bad. Poonchie.
PK, day one of minicamp yesterday. What were some takeaways you had from what Rex Road has described as just a thrilling day in the bubble?
Yeah, it was not a thrilling day in the bubble. You know, it's good to see Landry back out there amongst the missing, Duncan back out there. So that was good. But you know, still a slew of guys missing. I pledged not to make a big deal out of guys missing. Now, nothing's a big deal until training camp, but, you know, this habitual early round draft picks missing time, that's not crucial in terms of, you know, the career and all that. I just don't want to hear later on if Sweat is somehow struggling 3 or 4 weeks in where they go back and, oh, well, you know, he missed minicamp, you know,
yeah.
And that kind of thing. When they minimize it now, which I agree, it's not that important, but you can't go back later and say, well, he got off to a slow start. This can't be the hinge on which the door swings that's a slow start to his rookie year and a problematic thing. And that's been the case for a lot of guys. First rounders in particular on this team who had pulled hamstring early. I know we'll wind up talking about Burks, and you guys talked to Burks and the asthma thing and the not fit and all of that. And you presume he's doing well weight-wise conditioning, though we don't know body part. I have reason to suspect it's a lower body thing. So is he running in a pool? You know, what are they doing in terms of that? So that's the one of all of the injuries Again, I'm not going to be concerned. I just don't want them to look back and for it to be something that throws him off track. You're most concerned with the rookie missing time and falling behind. And so, you know, you're looking a lot at guys that aren't out there in that way, shape, and form. Now, this has created some opportunity for some rookies. I mean, you've got a rookie corner who's playing with the ones yesterday who would surprise a lot of people. That's an impressive thing for him and valuable experience. And so things like that are happening, or, you know, there's always a silver lining, so to speak, to people being out, and that'll pay off later.
So I'm going to go to Zach, who has been on some takes.
Zachary.
He's been on some takes lately. He's telling me, by the way, maroon is ugly and I have to stick to brown. And
maroon was my high school color, maroon and white.
Is that right?
There you go. I like maroon.
So, but I'm not necessarily taking his advice. I am
going to. He's really going deep.
Find out if I can wear maroon and maroon
to what?
Shoes and belt.
I'm officiating a wedding.
I'm supposed to wear like the navy suit, but brown. But I have these really comfortable maroon shoes, and it's like, isn't that close enough to brown?
They're not maroon shoes.
They're like wine. Yeah. Okay. I don't know what they are. You know what I'm saying? It's in that.
Whose wedding are you officiating?
My cousin's wedding in Montauk, New York, buddy.
Yeah, I like Montauk. I wish he'd get a more serious officiant, but that's for me.
I got my license. I'm ready to go.
That's between me and my guy.
Yeah.
But Zach on the Snead thing, okay, says, first of all, the report, the Minnesota, we talked about the whole thing, right?
Like, yeah.
They got him at a pretty good rate, and no one else was in there at the end, whatever.
They said
whatever.
Right from the beginning, they told me at the owners' meetings, he was, you know, Rand said, as long as he's available on Thursday, Sunday, Monday, and now they don't have to worry about Thursday, and they only have one Monday. So Sunday's at noon. As long as he's ready, they're fine with it. So they've accepted that on the front end. And Callahan said as much yesterday.
So he said, first of all, the report about Minnesota having a trade offer, which is something that Stilley hammers over and over again, is from the Kansas City version of MusicCityMiracles.com. I would take it with a grain of salt from a relatively unknown writer with no known reputable sources. I don't know if that's
what
true
did they
or not.
Say?
Basically, that Minnesota was interested in Snead and pulled their offer
because of the knee.
I don't know if that's if Zach is accurate about the writer, because sometimes, you know, there's a range within. I mean, okay, let's go here. We had David Beauclair working for Maven. David Beauclair covered this team for a long time, right? Like, you know what I mean?
Well, this would be the equivalent of Jimmy Morris. And Jimmy Morris at Music City Miracles wasn't breaking stuff.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is those sites. Sometimes there are people like Beauclair who read about a team for a long time.
He wasn't at the same kind of site. That's not a parallel site to what Zach is mentioning.
Not exactly,
there.
But
Jared saying TD also reported that Minnesota was in. So
was in.
Did he?
Yeah.
Didn't say why he was out. It's possible. This knee is not 100% thing. So some teams may have seen it a different way. Some teams were out on Julio Jones, and that's why the Titans got him, because they knew he wasn't. Baltimore was in on Julio Jones, and then I think Peter King said they were out on Julio Jones because he wasn't going to be an everyday practice guy, and they didn't want that. And the Titans were willing to take that.
So Baltimore
Robinson
got
was.
More information on the hamstring because you know.
I think everybody knew already Julio Jones at this stage of his career was not an everyday practice guy, was not going to be an everyday practice guy. He was a maintenance guy. And Baltimore didn't want a guy who was going to be a maintenance guy. And J-Rob was okay with getting a maintenance guy. It's a similar circumstance, though Snead is not as old. And his injury is more clearly defined than Julio Jones, just maintenance for his body. But it's a similar thing. So Baltimore was in. It found out more. It was out. Minnesota was in. It found out more. It was out. Everybody's got a sliding scale for how much they value a guy, how much they feel like they can survive without him practicing all the time, and to what degree they feel like the injury is going to come on or stay in control. The Titans clearly were willing to take a certain amount of risk with him in a contract that really is a two-year deal, and they rolled the dice and pushed it in a way that Robinson did with several people also. So it's on a similar track like it was with Rand's predecessor.
But you're talking about it kind of like, okay, like Baltimore. You know, we want a guy who practices all the time. More like, I don't like maintenance guys. But it could be that, or it could be more, I'm just not sure if that knee is going to hold up. Like, I'm not sure this guy can do what he did last year another season or another two
right.
seasons.
Right. Well, that's in there, too. But I think Baltimore, if you look at it, they're thinking Lamar Jackson's outside passing game needs him to be on the field working with the guy all the time, where the Titans could say Tannehill, given enough time with Julio Jones, can then be a Sunday with Julio Jones kind of guy, given his experience and veteran passing game.
Mental
Fair?
Reps.
Yeah.
Mental reps.
Yeah, yeah.
There's another point on the Snead front that I want to get to coming up next. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, Paul Kuharski with us for the rest of the show, talking all things Tennessee Titans as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on the Louisville Bats at home. Pre-game at 6:20, first pitch 6:35. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds Baseball presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com with us here talking all things Tennessee Titans. So on the Snead front, I think this is a situation, to me anyway, where two things can be true at the same time, and I think they are here. I am totally with Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan and the Titans that at the end of the day, if he doesn't set foot in practice all season long, but he plays in all 17 games and plays the way that he did last year, I don't care. That's fine. Like, they're 100% correct that really the only thing that matters is what he does in games and his availability there. Having said that, I do think, like, just looking at this from the outside looking in, you got him for a price that we would all agree was much lower than we thought it was going to be via trade. That tells me that there was at least some hesitancy around the league for most of the other teams that could have been interested in him, that the knee is a problem. I mean, otherwise, why is the price so low? That's what I'm trying to figure out. So there is an inherent risk that comes with that of, if the knee does blow up on him this year, and he's not available, then we're going to look right at Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan and say, what are you guys doing? Like, yeah. How did you guys not recognize this when seemingly everybody else did?
And look, never mind what the rest of the league said in not going after him. Think about the Chiefs. All the Chiefs did here was move up in the third round and accelerated a season. They could have kept him this year manageably, though it might have slowed down some extensions, and gotten a third rounder in 2026 as a compensatory pick that would have been further down the third round and had him for a three-peat chance,
yeah,
which is a pretty good piece to have. So you have to think it. They were factoring it in as well to some degree. So, look, I think it's a little bit of a roll of the dice move, but they seem pretty confident in it. The other thing here, it's still the same medical people who evaluated all of these other medical situations. How heavy-handed is the GM, is Brinker, is Callahan, and saying to the medical people, hey, we really want this guy, so that the medical people might round up instead of rounding down the way they probably did with Caleb Farley, you know?
Not a fan of rounding down or up medically, but
you know,
yeah,
what
that's
I'm saying.
An interesting way
you
to put it.
You know what I'm saying, though? When you trade for a guy, take Snead out of this, but when you trade for a guy who's got some knee arthritis or whatever, something more minor, you know he can pass your physical.
Yeah.
Right? You know he's going to pass your physical. Now, look, I do think it's a good test, but the way Carthon talked when I spoke to him at the owners' meetings in my one-on-one, he said, you know, we were really on the medicals in terms of the investigation. This is something I learned that I didn't know because I thought it was more of a cat-and-mouse game in a trade. And he enlightened me to the idea that it's more of a partnership thing. I guess we should have known this, right? But that your medical people are immediately talking to their medical people and that they're sharing stuff. Now, I could hear, you know, Stilley already saying, well, of course their medical people are sharing stuff. They're trying to put one over on
you. Yeah.
But the medical stuff is the medical stuff. The x-rays and the MRIs and all of that
stuff. Medical people are not, it's not proprietary to them. We've been saying that forever. Like, right. You can't look at them the same way.
And you're
a Sharpie in there. Don't look at this.
Right, yeah. Or, you know, filling in some
little white out. This fracture. Let's put a little white out there. Yeah, cover
and
up
so,
the fracture.
And so the Titans medical people were looking at the stuff and looking at what Kansas City's plan was for him last year, what he was doing on those days when he was not, what the maintenance plan was. And so the Titans had a comfort level with that. And yes, this is a test. Also, now an X factor that's outside of that is this new strength and conditioning department that will be the guys, Zach Woodfin and his department, who will be doing what is done with Snead on the side field,
yep,
is new. So I would have more faith in that than you had in the old group.
Joe, I want to get to the Elijah Molden stuff here too, because we've talked about Arden Key's comments last week that he made about the last coaching staff and the corrections or lack thereof and all those things. And you brought up that conversation with Molden yesterday. I'll let you set up what we're about to hear from Elijah Molden.
Well, I don't know if Keezer wants to participate in this right now. But actually, so I had two clips from Molden. We can junk the first. It was interesting. He was talking about his injuries and the new strength staff, things like that. But, you know, the sports hernia and all that stuff and a little bit about the scheme. We don't have to do that. But I'd like to hear the Weaver thing, which I did was not there for ASA.
So we'll get to that.
But I did the second – if Keezer is – hello, Keezer? Hello, Nick Keezer? Hi, Nick. Hey, can you play the second Molden clip, please? The second –
one on Denard Wilson.
The short Molden clip that I had on Denard Wilson.
The sense of urgency, the attention to detail. You know, if you have one bad rep or one mistake, like, he's not afraid to pull you. And you don't take it personal, just get it cleaned up, go back out there. So, yeah.
Is that a big change? Arden was talking last week about how there's more attention to, like, mistakes being
it is, yeah, yeah, it is. But, I mean, it's just a way, just a different way of doing things, you know what I mean? At the end of the day, you know, we want to be perfect, but also know that it's not actually going to happen, you know what I mean? But that's our goal, so.
Go ahead.
Okay, so there's that, but go ahead. Go ahead.
My thing here is, I mean, sure, it sounds great that it's a difference. There's more attention to detail. You're not leaving the field before a mistake's corrected. I do think at a certain point, as bad as the Titans were, partly because of coaching, partly because of lack of talent, this team was awful, right?
Yeah.
If you're at a Thursday practice and you have a schedule, you may be making so many mistakes that you don't have time. Under the NFL CBA, you don't have time to stay on the field to correct everything. And you say, well, we'll get that corrected in the meeting room on film. I'm just being devil's advocate.
Well, it also
and
still.
And the other thing is, you know, they're remembering the end of Vrabel and not the beginning of Vrabel. What would they have said on the first day of install with Dean Pease and Mike?
Well,
Vrabel?
It's all the same stuff as now.
Well, it all, I mean, like, right. Yeah, like, I still, it's hard for me to get away from this idea with the old coaching staff being out of here, that everything that you guys should have seen how dumb stuff was around here. And now this bright, shining light has come in with Brian Callahan and Denard Wilson. And look, I have no doubt, like, we've talked about Denard Wilson. He seems incredibly impressive to me, just watching him from the outside looking in. But these comments from Arden Key last week and now with everybody else kind of doubling down on him of, yeah, it's just a lot different around here now. It's like, I'm sure the style is probably a little bit different. But this assertion that there's just all this coaching going on right now that wasn't taking place a year ago is just difficult for me to believe.
And I understand the enthusiasm for Denard Wilson, but he hasn't called the snap in the league yet. And Arden Key, love him as a quote. Not the most reliable narrator in the Titans locker.
Somewhat hyperbolic, perhaps.
Yeah.
Very entertaining. I'm with you. We all, hey, Arden, keep talking to us.
Yeah.
We like it. But, yeah, I mean, it's
What did you think? What's you drove.
So it's of note for sure, but
yeah. I followed up and I was like, okay, I guess. I mean, people are definitely gonna. It's the same thing. People are gonna run with that. Oh, this explains everything. So do we have the Weaver? We have Rashad Weaver, Kaiser. Okay, yeah. Let's hear that. Let's pile
this
them
was
all
another.
On.
This was the third tidbit.
Fun, aggressive. I mean, honestly, the first day, the first meeting we had him, I told him like, you had me ready to run through a wall. But it's about he's very hard on us, but he also lets you know when you're doing stuff right. And I think that's the biggest thing for me is, you know, sometimes before that I didn't know when I was doing stuff right, but I know when I'm doing stuff right now, and that makes you want to fix all the mistakes because, you know, it's being noticed.
That's so, kind of like the opposite, right?
Exactly. We're telling you when you do the right thing. Wait a minute.
So he's saying, old coaching regime never told me when I was doing things right. Now, he also...
So they never said when they were doing things right or wrong. They're like, I want you guys to
what
guess.
What do they do out there?
You just guess.
Now, he also said, and look, he also said, I asked him about setting the edge because we know that Weaver was unreliable edge setter and that he'd be on the field more in the last couple of years if he was better against the run. I asked him about that, and he said, when I take the right track and do the right things, they've told me I'm among the best in the league, the best on the team, which I said, whoa. So, look, I know my eyes have told me he's failed at setting the edge at times. So I went to Pro Football Focus to look at the grades for confirmation here, not the end-all and be-all, but sometimes supportive. He had the second worst run defense grade on the Titans to Trey Avery. All right, and I'm not looking for a cornerback like Trey Avery to be among the best run defenders.
Thanks for bringing up Trey Avery.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Trey Avery, the interview stop sign with from John Glennon.
May I interject
your thoughts
please,
on Trey Avery?
So, you know, again, there's somewhat potential for unreliable narration there. The same guy who's telling us he's one of the best run stoppers in the league, who had the second worst run stopping grade on the team, is saying that.
That makes that quote from Reaver just makes this whole thing even better. Hey Shane, what'd you think of that rep I just did?
I don't know.
It just like runs off.
That was neither good nor bad.
No idea.
And now
we might fix it and we might not.
We will now do yoga and you will meditate
right
for an hour.
Did I do that right? I don't know.
I'll get back to you.
You tell me, Rashad.
615.
It is all in the eye of the beholder.
1025.
He's like the Riddler.
We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Mandatory minicamp. No Tavondre Sweat. No Legarius Need, no Nicholas Petit-Frere, not even Jeffrey Simmons. Nobody out there. I mean, I was wondering at one point, was I going to have to get out onto the field to play because they didn't have enough players for practice, or at least players that matter. I mean, I can tell you all you need to know about Jaquan Jackson today, who had a nice little catch. But I'm talking about the players who matter. And I told you guys after the draft, and everybody got mad at me, and I said, the Titans have completely ignored what got John Robinson fired. And that was thinking that he could fix injured guys.
It is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Joseph, with that in the background, the floor is yours.
It's time for the Rex Rant on the Fat and Bald Show. Is it now the Fat and Bald Show?
Yeah, we're double bald now.
Sure.
I heard that yesterday leaving the Titans facility, and there was a lot more that was also enjoyable, but I loved nobody was on the field.
Yeah.
Nobody of consequence practiced for the Tennessee Titans
89
yesterday.
Guys on the roster currently.
All right.
They
so,
need him.
Yes. I will now, you can go ahead and play me from earlier, Nick, because, you know, I can't replicate that.
Who cares, right? Like, okay, it is what it is at that point. But it's just something to keep your eye on, as Jared texts me and says, It's okay. You can say I was right to be skeptical and everyone else was high on Titans lollipops. There you go.
I mean, it's amazing that who does Jared get his feedback from? Every day when I listen to him, he's always like, and you people said, no, I'm Jared. Everything's fine. Everything's great. Like, so there's no one in between. I'm already doing my rant early. So there's no one who's in between who's like, well, it could be bad or it could be. It's either everything sucks, oh my God, or no, Jared, everything's great. Dude, shut up.
That was a good rant. Was that
Thank
a preview?
You. Can I just replay that at 7:45? Then Kaharski can shut his mouth too and stop bitching about my rants. Yes. There you go. My rant's done.
Well, I mean, it's weak that you have to play your rant.
No,
again.
I'm not on it. No, I'm not on demand.
So
I'm not on
the last
demand
part of the question.
For you.
No, he will not shut his mouth.
I'm not a wind up doll for
no,
you.
No, but let's pick up on this because we need to educate the market, which being miseducated again by Jared. There's no game this week.
The miseducation of the Nashville market.
It's constant from him. There's no game this week. Legarius Sneed needs to be ready for Chicago on September 8th, which is more than 3 months away. There is no way you should be nervous right now about Legarius Sneed for September 8th. No way. I said Sweat, you get a little bit concerned because of the fall behind thing. Who else? You're worried about Jeffrey Simmons right now missing non-padded practices?
What about Petit Frere?
Give me a break.
He needs reps.
Petit Frere needs reps, but he's probably – I mean, what are you going to do? He messed up his shoulder last year, and he's probably still recovering for it. Do you want to accelerate medical science, Jared? Is that your issue? The doctors are not working fast enough to fix his shoulder, if it's his shoulder. I mean, if guys are hurt, they're hurt. Petit Frere's already on the roster. Simmons is already on the roster. Do you want to replace him? I know you want to replace Petit Frere. Do you want to replace Simmons? Who else? Give me the list. Name the guys who are out. I mean, what do you want to do? If a guy is hurt, I know you want to. They can't revamp the roster more than they revamp the roster. It's like it's going to be over 45% new for the second year in a row. Go around the league. You're big on your research. Go look at who's practicing in Kansas City right now, who won two Super Bowls in a row. Is it okay for them to be hurt? You'll say yes because they've won before. This is how the league works. Lots of guys don't work in May and June. You know why? Because May and June don't matter that much. They really don't.
I will cape for Jared a little bit here. Everything you said I agree with, but we're talking – I think the conversation is tied to decisions in the offseason. And so Sneed – risk. There were red flags. Sweat, risk. There are red flags. And I will contend that however those turn out, it will have a pretty significant impact on this defense and this season and this bottom line.
Did you say when they traded for Sneed and when they drafted Sweat, you know, I'm going to make my judgment about their
well,
injury stuff on June 8th.
No, this is where I stopped defending him. No, that was my brief little.
When they brought these guys in, I said, at the end of minicamp, that's when I'm going to know if I'm right about these injuries. And I'm right. The one guy's fat, and he's out of shape. And at the end of minicamp, I'll know. I will know if the guy is a player in the league or not. Because he will have been out there working with Tracy Rocker on the sleds. And if he's not out there working on the sleds, how can he have a career? How is it possible that the guy could do anything in any game in what might be an 8-year, 10-year career if he can't hit the sleds on June 11th, next Tuesday? That's my deadline. If he's not out there on the 11th, he can't play. And Sneed with the knee, if that knee can't get him on the field next Tuesday, there is no way. This is more Mad Dog Russo than if he cannot run with the corners on Tuesday, next Tuesday, the 11th, the last day of this minicamp, the minicamp of all minicamps, the most important minicamp in the history of the Tennessee Titans, who I've been watching since I was knee-high on my dad, eating those damn pizzas that everybody hates that I love at Nissan Stadium, if he can't run with the corners on June 11th at minicamp, he's done. Forget about Chicago on the 8th.
Well,
right. Forget about the home opener on the 15th. Forget right. about the whole season. It's done.
He just destroyed your Jared Stone impression.
Yeah, well, you can throw mine away.
You're going to get the smoke.
Imitation, the greatest form of flattery, Jared.
God. That was awesome.
Are there really some pizzas that everybody hates that he loves? Is that true? Or did you just come? Is that an improv?
No, he loves those the horrible pizzas at Nissan Stadium.
I didn't know that. Well, you know so much about him.
There's some sentiment. It's amazing. There's some sentiment connected to them, and clearly he used to eat 4 or 5.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on the Tennessee Titans. We'll get more with Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com for the next hour. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.